Every organization has talented leaders who could make a meaningful difference if only they could get heard. Welcome to Words and Power, the weekly podcast that provides the tips, strategies, and inspiration to win support for your ideas, all while remaining completely yourself, just more at ease and effective. And now, here's our host, C-suite leadership coach, Kathy Dockery.
Well, hello there, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Words and Power podcast. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about how to move other people into action. That's a pretty helpful superpower to have in the work world. So I think this is going to be a valuable episode for you. But first, I get asked a lot about where I am when I record these episodes. Most people know that I'm always flying back and forth across the country to see my coaching clients. But when I'm not living on a plane or in a hotel room, I'm living in the very beautiful and very cool town of Portland, Maine. I moved here from the New York City area about a year and a half ago, and I love it here. It's a creative place. There are a lot of smart and interesting people, and there's a real energy and talent for innovation. And that spirit is pretty infectious. It keeps me on my toes. I'm doing some of the best thinking in my life here, I think. And I'm having a lot of fun at the same time. So that's not too bad. And when I record these episodes, I'm doing that in an actual recording studio called Portland Pod. Portland Pod was created and is run by the fabulous Tanner Campbell. There's a lot of tech that goes into the making of a podcast and a lot of best practices that you might not be aware of when you're first starting out. Tanner does an incredible job of either doing that for you or guiding you through the process of what you need to do. And that's such a relief for me because I know that most of you probably are working in corporate settings where you're used to a pretty high caliber product. Working with Tanner ensures that this podcast meets the professional standards you would expect in a corporate workplace, and that you don't have to suffer through me trying to figure out all of that on my own. If you're contemplating doing a podcast, and it's important to have a polished professional feel, I highly recommend that you look for a Portland Pod or a Tanner to help you through the process. It's made a big difference for me. So what's happening here today? Well, it's another partly sunny, partly cloudy morning in Portland. Spring is right around the corner, which around here means anything could happen. I mean, we might have flowers and warm breezes soon. We could have weeks of rain. And oh yes, there's always a chance of a snowstorm. I actually love that unpredictability. It's kind of like living in four different parts of the country for the price of one. But speaking of unpredictability, I know where else I can find it besides this amazing corner of the world, and that's in the workplace. Our work lives are filled with unpredictability, aren't they? No matter how much we try to get things lined up and going in the right direction, we can always count on something else coming along and knocking things off course. It doesn't matter who you are, an admin assistant, a CEO, or anyone in between. We're always trying to productively manage that dynamic where the unexpected starts interfering with our ability to get things done. Now, we can't eliminate the unexpected. And by the way, we shouldn't want to either. There are a lot of good things that come from unpredictability, both for us and for our organizations. But that's not what we'll be talking about in this episode. It's something worth thinking about, but we don't have that time today. However, we do want to be able to manage that unpredictability so it doesn't screw everything up. And what's the number one reason why day-to-day things go wrong, why they go off the track? It's because we just can't get those other people to do their jobs, darn it. Or that's what we're thinking, right? It could be that we need our boss to provide approval for something, or we've asked a peer to provide us with data needed for an important presentation, or our direct reports are just not turning around things in a timely way. And we're thinking things like, why the heck can't that person just get their job done? Or why do I always have to follow up and ride herd on people to make sure they're doing their jobs? Here's an example of that. I once had a client named Lisa, and she was smart. She had this infectious enthusiasm. She was a real ball of fire. She'd been recently hired into a company to turn around one of their divisions, to shake things up and get things re-energized and productive. And when we started working together, she said, "You know, it's like wading through mud here. Everyone wants me to wave a magic wand and make things happen. But when I tell them what to do or what we need, we spend a huge amount of time going back and forth versus simply getting things done. Either I don't get something I need promptly, or someone gets back to me promptly, but what they give me isn't what I asked for, or they get back to me promptly with what I asked for, but the quality isn't good enough." Well, I had a lot of sympathy. We've all been there, often on a daily basis. The unpredictability of other people's behavior just keeps on knocking us off course, and it keeps us from getting things done easily and in a timely manner. So how do we solve for this? What's causing this exasperating unpredictability among our coworkers? You want to know what's causing it? You. You're causing it. I'm kind of joking here to get your attention. I'm not really blaming you, of course. But I'm also making a pretty important point about problem solving. Anytime we're feeling exasperated or frustrated with a situation, there's usually something we can do to make it better. We may not be able to solve it 100%, but let me ask you this. If you could take a frustrating problem and solve 50% of it, or even 75%, by changing something that you're doing, wouldn't you want to at least try that? We can't always control other people, even if they're the cause of our problem. But we can control ourselves, and we can figure out ways to improve the work lives of us and the people around us. If we're good problem solvers and need to find answers, the best place to start is usually with ourselves. Now, some people say this is what we should do because we should be humble and we shouldn't judge other people. And that's a nice sentiment. But it's not primarily what drives me when I need to solve a problem. The reason why I always ask myself, what can I do to solve this problem I have with this other person, is not because I'm humble, I'm afraid to say. It's because I know that changing what I'm doing is a heck of a lot easier than changing other people. So that's where I start. I start with, can the answer to this problem be found in something that I am doing? So it turns out there is an answer to the problem of how to manage other people's unpredictability. In fact, there's kind of a magic four-step formula that you can use to reduce at least 50% of that wading through mud feeling. And sometimes you can use this formula to reduce it by even more than that. Not only is that great news for you personally, but it's great news for the atmosphere and the culture of your workplace. Because if you use this formula consistently, you're going to start changing everything around you. Over time, your workplace is going to start feeling different in a very good way. I'll explain more about that towards the end of this episode. So stay with me to learn more about how your workplace will start shifting. It's kind of cool. But first, let me walk you through the formula so you know how to do it. Now, if you're driving or you're someplace where you can't take notes, no worries. I've got you covered. I've created a PDF checklist that you can download and use over and over again to move other people into action and increase the likelihood that they will do what you want them to do in the way that you want them to do it and by the time you want them to do it. So just go to the Words and Power website at www.wordsandpower.com and look up episode 8. You'll find a link to the checklist there. So here's the formula, the 4-step formula for making it more likely that people do the job you want them to do. Step number 1, start with the outcome you want, not with the action that you want them to take. Most of the time when we want someone to do something, we tell them what action to take. Seems pretty logical, right? If we want them to write a report, we tell them to write a report. If we want our boss to approve adding a new position on our team, we ask her to approve that position. What could be clearer? But the way the human brain works is that when someone tells us to do an action, we immediately guess why they want us to do that action. And human beings are notoriously bad at guessing. So when you ask someone to write an analysis on a competitor, if you haven't told them that the analysis is required to make a smart decision on a possible acquisition, they might just regard it as an ordinary report. They might take their time with it. Or they might just provide information that would be helpful in how to compete with that company versus helpful in an acquisition scenario. Now, you might say, well, Kathy, of course I'm going to tell them why I need it. I just normally explain that later in the conversation. And of course, that's what many of us do, or at least we think we do it. If someone was actually taping the conversation, we'd probably be amazed at how unclear the message actually sounds, though. On the other hand, imagine starting things off by saying to your colleague, we're planning to have a discussion at the next management team meeting as to whether or not X company is a possible fit with our long-term strategic objectives. It's important that the discussion is well-informed because we'll probably decide at that meeting whether we move forward into more serious talks. So in order to do that, I need you to write an analysis of X company. Pretty simple, really. But when you spell out the larger context like that at the very beginning of the conversation, you've caught the other person's attention and you've helped them understand what's at stake. They're less likely to have heard, I need you to do something, blah, 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 blah. Instead, they've heard, we need you to accomplish something, and this is the part that you need to do. They have greater understanding of the ultimate goal, and so they're less likely to perform the task in a way that's inconsistent with that. Okay, step number 2, spell out how the task needs to be done. If there's one aspect of asking people to do things where all of us can get better, it's helping the other person understand how to get the task done. Why do we drop the ball on this? I'm guessing there are several reasons. Sometimes we're too rushed for time to carefully think through how the task needs to be done, so we haven't really given it much thought ourselves. Other times, we're worried that the other person will feel condescended to or perceive us as a micromanager if we describe how the task should be done. And when we avoid providing details, we kind of rationalize that to ourselves. We say there's no need to spell things out because, of course, the other person gets how things should be done. But the reality is, when we don't spell things out, it's kind of negligent. It's even a little inconsiderate not to provide the other person with the relevant information they need. No one wants to waste their time. You don't want your time to be wasted, and other people don't want their time to be wasted. And the single biggest way of avoiding wasted time is to give the other person clarity about the important components of the task. Now, again, I'm not talking about micromanaging the task. I'm merely emphasizing that it's important to provide clear guidelines if those guidelines are mission critical. So, what are some examples of things that other people need to know in order to do a task well? Well, obviously, time frame and deadlines, they're often relevant. Who needs to be involved in getting the task done? That's often another relevant aspect. An important guideline that we often omit is what priority this task has compared with other work that's being done. What kind of follow-up and check-ins are advisable might be another guideline. And finally, think about whether the person needs some guidance as to their behavior and attitude as they do the task. So what do I mean by that? Well, an obvious example is when there are organizational politics and personalities involved. You want to be sure that the person is able to navigate that well. So if there's anything important they need to know about the key personalities, their likes, their dislikes, how they need to be treated, then you want to provide that information up front. Does it take a little time to think about this, all the important aspects of how to get the job done? Yeah, it does, but it's only a little time, and it can save you an enormous amount of time later on. Remember my client Lisa, the one I said was the ball of fire? She originally complained that at her new company, getting people to do things well and in a timely manner was like wading through mud. But she was incredibly pleased by the change when she started to spell out to people how things should be done. In fact, she said, "Oh, now I get it. In order to make things go fast, you actually need to slow down a little bit at the beginning." That's a pretty good mantra to remember. So on to step number three. Now, this is an inside secret that you may never have heard before, but it's a really powerful part of the formula. Step number three is make a promise. Now, all the research pretty convincingly shows that people are more motivated to do a task if they feel like they're reciprocating for something that you are doing. A promise is your way of essentially saying that if they do the task, something good will happen for them. Sometimes the promise can be something that will directly benefit them. Typical examples of this include the promise of providing some additional support and resources to the person, or your personal help in getting something done that they need, or even your willingness to help eliminate a workplace problem that's currently bothering them. But more often, the promise is merely sort of expressing how life in general will be better if they perform the task. You can promise to them that the task is a meaningful one with a lot of value. That's important for a lot of us. We want to be working on meaningful tasks. Or you can promise that it gives them a chance to be publicly seen in a positive light. Or that it could be helpful to their long-term career ambitions. Or you emphasize simply how pleased and grateful you or others will be if they perform the task. All of these promises, both the specific ones and the more general ones, do the same thing. They connect the person you're talking to a positive future, and they give them additional motivation for doing the work and doing it well. So the inside secret here is that promises are a highly persuasive and powerful way to move someone into action. Okay. And finally, step number 4, get a proper response from the other person. So what do I mean by that? Well, here's what we normally do. We say, I'd like you to do this task. And the other person says, wait for it. Okay. Or else they say some other version of okay, like got it. Or if it's your boss, he'll say, I'll definitely consider it. And we walk away assuming that we're all on the same page and the job is getting done. Well, I hate to tell you, and you probably know this already, but that assumption is wrong. And if you think about it, you know why. How often has someone asked you to do a task where you said, okay, and then you got sidetracked? What you really were saying was, okay, but only if something else doesn't happen. If you had actually said that out loud, then the other person could have said, well, let's talk about what needs to be done if something else happens. Or they could even have said, I see what you're saying. Maybe I should ask someone else to do this task. Okay is never a sufficient answer if you need confirmation that something will be done. Let me repeat that. Okay is never a sufficient answer if you need confirmation that something will be done. And without a proper answer to your request, you lose the ability to, one, ascertain if the person understands what they need to do and is aligned with you, and two, you lose the opportunity to hold them accountable if they don't handle your request in accordance with your expectations. So what is a proper answer? Well, there are several types. The first type is acceptance. Acceptance is where you get explicit acknowledgement and agreement on the who, what, when, and where of the task. That's the answer we're all hoping to get. But another proper answer might be that the person declines to do the task. That's kind of surprising, isn't it? But declining is a helpful answer because you know where you stand. You can figure out what to do now versus later when things would be more complicated. You're not wasting time. When someone declines to do a task, you actually still might be able to convince them. You have the chance to explore their reasons for declining. And you can see whether there are options that will allow you to get to an acceptance from them, like offering them some more help in doing the task. Here's another proper answer, a counteroffer. Now, a counteroffer is when the other person says, I can't do exactly what you're saying, but I can do this other thing that might be helpful. That's a great answer because now you can explore and negotiate. That other thing might be good enough for you. Or you could have that person do one part of the task and approach someone else to do the other part. In any event, you have options and you understand what you can do about them. Here's another answer you might get. That's the promise to reply to you later. As you might suspect, that's not the most desirable answer to hear. It's pretty open-ended. And in my experience, you get that answer from bosses a lot. They'll get back to you. But you can turn it into a much better answer with one simple action. Get agreement on what time frame is mutually acceptable for when that person is going to get back to you. If that person says, I'll get back to you with my answer in a week, or I'll get back to you after the board meeting, you now have something to work with. You can plan your next steps without being left up in the air. Finally, going back to the typical response, what do you do if you don't get a proper answer, and instead the other person does the normal thing and says some version of okay? In that case, it's perfectly okay, pun intended, and acceptable to ask, does that mean you'll do it? Be polite, but also be persistent in pinning the person down to a proper answer. Remember, getting things nailed down in the beginning is the key to having things go smoothly and timely in the end. So there you have it, the magic formula for getting other people to do a task in a way that matches up with your expectations. First, you start with the outcome you want before you tell them the task you need them to do. Next, you spell out how you want them to do the task. Let them know the important things they need to know so they can get the task done successfully. Third, get that person motivated. Make a promise that connects them with a positive future. And finally, get a proper answer from that person. Don't be satisfied just with okay. Keep on going until you have an acceptance, a decline or rejection, a counteroffer, or an agreement on when you can expect a proper response. Now remember, I've laid this all out for you in a pretty handy checklist that you can use over and over again. Just go to the Words and Power website at www.wordsandpower.com and look up episode 8. You'll find a link to the PDF there and some additional guidance about how you can use this formula and use it easily in your work life. Okay, before we finish up here, let's talk about the very big benefits to you if you follow this magic formula. I feel pretty safe in saying I guarantee you if you follow this formula consistently, when you ask other people to do things, here's what you're going to see over time. First of all, you're going to see more stuff gets done. And you don't have to work as hard to make sure it's getting done. And what does that mean? It means you're not wasting a lot of time. In fact, you have more time for your own things. Not a bad outcome, right? But secondly, things start to change around you because stuff is getting done faster. When the people around you are getting things done faster, it creates energy and momentum for the entire team. And that's something that can scale up way beyond your team. Teams and companies that get things done faster have an advantage in the work world. They generally have higher levels of employee motivation, for one thing, and they certainly have the ability to perform better than their competitors. So really, there's value to the magic formula besides just making your own work life better. That's something I have a passion for. Dialing down the unpredictability and the frustration we often have in our work lives, and dialing up the efficiency and the morale by using simple techniques and formulas. It won't solve every workplace issue, but remember what I said before. Wouldn't we be really happy with a workplace that was just even 50% better? And that's a perfectly achievable goal if you just tweak some of the ways in which you're doing things. Okay, my friends, I'm looking forward to sharing more tips with you next time we talk. Here's to a good rest of the day. What more could you accomplish if you were 10%, 20%, even 50% more connected and influential in your organization. To make that possibility a reality for yourself, you can subscribe to Words and Power Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you listen to podcasts. Do you have a particular question on influence, persuasion, and presence that you'd like to see addressed on future episodes? If so, just go to our website, www.wordsandpower.com, fill out the inquiry form you see there, and stay tuned for a later episode on the topic of your choice. You'll also see information on our site about leadership coaching, online courses, and free resources that we offer. That's www.wordsandpower.com. Until next time, my friends, here's to a week ahead filled with good work, with good colleagues, and a few good wins.